Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll be reading verse 13. And out of reverence to God, please stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13 and ending in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how can it be made salty? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You may be seated. We've been looking through the Beatitudes, and the first four of the Beatitudes talk about the attitude that we need to have to be saved. We need to realize we can't save ourselves. There's nothing good within ourselves. Mourn over our sin. Seek God, hungering and thirsting for Him. And if we do that, we're going to end up with some consequences. We're going to be merciful to others. We're going to be pure in heart. We're going to be peacemakers. And we're going to be persecuted. Now, talking about those that are believers, he says, you are, not you might be, but you are the salt of the earth. Now, some interesting things about salt. One quote that I read from a book called The Salt and Light Company said, salt is not noticed unless it's absent. If you think about it, you go, food with the right amount of salt, oh, yeah. But if it's not there, you go, oh, that's bland. It needs something. Also, salt is marked by its ability to flavor with only a little bit of its existence in the substance. The word you is southern. That is plural. You all would be how you translate it. It's not just a singular you, but all of you, referring back to verses 1 through 12, all those who are believers. And the word are is an emphatic verb. It means you only are. You are the only salt of the earth. And as we look at salt, salt is an interesting substance. It's made when you take an acid and you neutralize it. It forms the salt. That acid that is once destructive is now neutralized and moved into something that is useful. In Job chapter 6, verse 6, one of the earliest references, one of the oldest books in the Bible, references salt. Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Imagine French fries with no salt. Yeah, we generally our standard of a good French fry is to get just the right amount of salt on it. Salt does many things. First, it gives taste and flavor. We give taste and flavor to the earth. If we look in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 24. Isaiah 30, verse 24, it talks about this. I still haven't got this new Bible to just flop open to the places I want it to. The oxen and donkeys that work the ground will eat salted fodder scattered with winnowing shovel and fork. And Matthew, in our passage, talks about us being the salt of the earth. Think about how a little salt on the table adds to the meal, to the food, makes it a little more palatable. As we look around our world today, we see that there is something missing from the flavor of the earth. Also, salt creates a thirst for water. Arabs will drink salt to help them, or take salt to make them drink more water before they go out into the desert, because it creates a thirst. When we were practicing back in high school, they'd give us salt tablets before we exercise, so we'd drink more water so we wouldn't dehydrate during practice. Also, Jesus describes himself as, "I am the living water." Are we creating a thirst for Jesus? Salt also preserves. Food on ships before refrigeration, much of it would be salted. You'd have salted foods that would keep, it would delay the rot. If we look at our world today, we see there's a lot of rottenness, and there's a need for preservation. We also see salt provides traction. Now, up north, many states salt their roads. They will even put some salt on the roads down here, on the bridges, the overpasses, to help give you a little traction to get across the bridge. It says bridges may ice in winter, but it's very rare in Texas it doesn't. Very frequent in Minnesota. And Illinois does a real good job of putting so much salt on the roads that it eats holes in the road, more because it melts the water, refreezes, and cracks the road apart. It also melts ice. Christians, their life should be melting the hardness of people toward the truth of the gospel. It's also been used as a symbol of purity in Old Testament times and in antiquity. It was offered as part of an offering to the gods. It was also used in offerings to the true God. It's also an antiseptic. A little salt will help cleanse wounds. It causes irritation when it does, but it is a cleaner. In Leviticus 2:13, rather, and Ezekiel 43:24, it talks about offer the offering to God with salt. In the Old Testament, covenants were also ratified with the use of salt. It was used as a form of money. Soldiers were paid in salt. You might have heard the phrase say, "That person isn't worth their salt." That's referring back to how salt, being very valuable, was used as an exchange currency. But salt can lose its usefulness. It can lose its taste. And this verse says, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, the salt that came from the Dead Sea near Jesus, where he was speaking, is not a pure sodium chloride. It has a lot of impurities in it. And as you store it, either it leaches into the ground, or if you store it outside, the rain runs and washes off the sodium chloride, and you're left with something that looks like salt but doesn't taste very good. And it says, all it's useful for is just to pave roads. It's only used to be walked on. But it says, we are the salt of the earth. We, who are Christians, We who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we who are persecuted, are the salt of the earth. And it's not just the salt of the salt shaker. We are not called the salt of the salt shaker. We're called the salt of the earth. It means we need to get out of the salt shaker and have an influence on society. We have to touch something to affect it. You can have your French fries here and your salt here. It's just not going to work until you mix the two together. Then you have the good taste of French fry. And there can be a debate who has the best French fries. We need to also understand that salt doesn't become a French fry. It seasons the French fry. It still maintains its distinctness even when in contact with something else. We need to remember to maintain our distinctiveness from the world as we impact the world. And one final point. We're not called to be sugar. Jesus didn't say you're the sugar of the earth. Although that reminds me of this waitress at the cafe right outside Seminary in New Orleans. Everybody was sugar. You want some sugar with that sugar? Yeah. And so, no, my tea's got enough sugar in it already. Okay, sugar. Well, we're not called to be sickly sweet. We're not called to be the sweetening of the world. We're called to be the salt of the world. Too often we got that confused. Salt and sugar look a lot the same, but they do drastically different things. We're called to be the salt of the earth, and sometimes salt is irritating when it does its job. Salt, remember, gives a taste and flavor. It creates a thirst for water, or to create the thirst for the living water, Jesus Christ. It preserves. Our society definitely needs a lot of preservation right now. It prevents decay. It provides traction. It melts the hard ice surface. It's a symbol of purity. It's an antiseptic. We need to understand God has called us and told us we are the salt of the earth. We need to be affecting our society with the truth, without compromising who we are as Christians. The world needs to hear the truth because they're hearing lots of lies. They need to hear the truth, and we're the ones to proclaim that. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I thank you for this time that we could study your word. I pray that we will remember our position as being the salt of the earth. Let us keep our distinctiveness so the world can see that we're different and be drawn to you. Let us tell the truth in love to all we encounter. In Jesus' name.